Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is coming, but not in humility, as he came the first time, lowly, gentle, despised, and dejected. Christ is coming, but not to earn salvation, as he did when he came the first time and shed his blood on the cross to atone for the sins of the world. Christ is coming, but not to call men to repentance, or to forgive anyone his sins, or to bring anyone into his kingdom. That's what this time is for, between his first coming and his second coming. Because when he comes, the day of grace will be over. When he comes with power and great glory, all things will be destroyed, and most people will be locked out of his heavenly kingdom, cast into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is it important to be ready for his advent? I would say so. Does God, in fact, want for you to be ready for Christ's coming? He most certainly does. That's why he tells you about it and reminds you of it over and over and in so many ways, if you're listening to his voice, that is, to his word. One way in which God intends to keep his people mindful of his coming, preparing for his coming, is through all of those signs that Jesus told his church about beforehand. Signs whose sole purpose is to keep reminding God's people to keep watch, to continue steadfast in the faith, to persevere through this often difficult life, and to not be led astray while we wait. How tragic that would be, to spend most of your life waiting for Christ's coming, only to fall away as the hour grows late. So Jesus told his disciples to look for a number of signs leading up to his coming. Signs that would be like spring blossoms or early leaves budding on the trees. So that every time you look at those trees, you know that summer is coming, just around the corner. So it is with the signs Jesus gave. Now Luke, in our gospel today, speaks especially of the signs in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. Earlier, he spoke of other signs. It seems that the signs in the heaven, the great signs that will cause so much fear, are the last signs to come, or some of the last before the coming of Christ. Earlier, Luke, as well as Matthew and Mark, spoke of signs that we can witness and identify all too easily on the earth. Before the stars fall from the sky, there will be signs like wars, rumors of wars, nation rising up against nation, and kingdom rising up against kingdom. Have you been paying attention to ISIS and Russia and North Korea and maybe China, although that's just a rumor. Famines will be signs. Famines are almost unknown to us in this country, but do you know that in the last century, some 70 million people have died of famine around the world? Earthquakes will be a sign. Did you realize that there have been on average about 14,000 earthquakes every year for the last decade? Not all of them as big and notable as others, but still, there are earthquakes. There will be pestilence. Think AIDS, Ebola, West Nile virus, flu, even cancer. There will be the sign of the persecution of Christians, both from those outside the church as well as from those inside the church. There will be false Christs and false prophets performing signs, mighty deeds, deceiving many people, with many people being deceived and many people falling away from the faith. And so we see things working out in our history, in our own time. And here among the false prophets, there are a dime a dozen. You can name any of them from the most notable Pope down to Joel Osteen or Glenn Beck or even John Buchholz. And then there's that one pleasant sign that will precede Jesus coming, the sign of the gospel. In spite of all the turmoil in the world, the gospel being preached to all the nations. And so it continues to happen to this day. So many signs, like budding leaves on a spring tree. And yet they're all signs that can be ignored, or easily dismissed, or quickly forgotten. Which is why, as Jesus says, life will be going on as usual, right up until the day of his coming. As he says, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." The signs will be there. In fact, the signs are almost all already there if you're watching. But the unbelieving world won't interpret them correctly. What about Christians? What about you? Jesus doesn't want you to be caught off guard like the rest of the world. And so he warns in the gospel, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Specifically, what does Jesus warn about here? He says, letting your hearts be weighed down with carousing, which is sort of like partying, or with drunkenness, or the cares of this life. Now maybe you're not a partier. Maybe you're not given to drinking too much. But that thing about cares of this life, you all know about those cares of this life. How you tend to think about and make your plans around those cares of this life, whether it's your job or your education, whether it's your friends or your relationships or your health. The cares of this life are like weights upon your heart. And if your heart is weighed down by those things, then it will not be interested in things like hearing and listening to God's word, or learning it. Or things like serving your neighbor, leading holy lives according to God's commandments and according to your vocation, as outlined, for example, in the table of duties in the small catechism. Turmoil and suffering on the one hand, cares and pleasures of life on the other hand, these things threaten your faith. If you're not paying attention, you will get so caught up in these things that you will not stop to think, "Wait, maybe I need to repent. Maybe I need to stop living how I'm living. Maybe I need to go and confess my sins and receive absolution. Maybe I need to stop and rearrange my life so that Christ and his word are restored to their first position, to your first love." truth is, most people will not be prepared for Christ's coming. As Jesus says, for it will come that day as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. You don't expect a snare. A bird or an animal that's going toward a trap doesn't expect it. It snaps shut. So it will be, Jesus says. And he says that only the worthy will escape. Only the worthy will be able to stand before Christ on that day. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? You would have preferred that Jesus said, don't worry, you don't have to be worthy. Or, don't worry, you will be counted worthy no matter what. But that's not what he says, is it? Even to his own apostles, he says these words, pray always that you may be counted worthy. So that the Apostle Paul himself wrote this, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's not a sinless life that makes you worthy, nor good deeds, nor works of love. It's faith alone in Christ the Redeemer that makes a person worthy to stand before the Son of Man on the day of his appearing. Faith. The sinner's appeal to Christ alone, who was crucified for us, for forgiveness. But Jesus asked once, also in the Gospel of Luke, this rhetorical question. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He will, of course, find faith on the earth when he comes. Faith which his own Spirit has created and sustained through his means of grace. But it won't be nearly as widespread a phenomenon as one might think. Look around at the world. Look at our own membership, even in the past couple of years since the Wells people left. How many of our own members have faded away, have stopped coming to church, have pursued false teaching churches, or fallen asleep entirely into indifference and apathy? How many have denied the faith? These things are also part of those signs that Jesus said would happen before he comes. What then? Are we at the mercy of fate? Are we helpless against this falling away from faith into impenitence and unworthiness? Far from it. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, still abides with us, still is active, still is working among us through sacraments, to keep calling you away from falling away, to keep calling you to remain in repentance. Or will some terrible temptation arise that will be so bad that you will just have to fall away? Never. St. Paul says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We can learn from the Apostle Paul's example. What did he say? He disciplined his body and brought it into subjection. He practiced self-discipline as a Christian. He set aside time for prayer. He likely fasted, among other things. demands instant gratification in all things. But the spiritual person knows that the flesh has to be subdued and tamed like a wild beast. Or else that wild beast will get out and do damage to yourself and to others. So practice self-discipline. Set aside time for prayer, even though your flesh says, I have other things to do. Set aside that time to meditate on God's word in order to prepare for Christ's coming. That's Jesus himself telling you that. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray always, and not just for earthly things. Pray that you may be preserved in the holy faith all the way up to the coming of Christ. Attend to God's promises and to the means by which he promises to fulfill those promises for you. Word and sacrament, word and sacrament. And don't worry that your prayers may go unfulfilled. God is faithful. He hears your prayers. He has brought you into fellowship with his Son through baptism, through faith, and has promised you an inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. So keep watch. Christ will come. The signs are being fulfilled all around us. Watch for them. Warned by them, but also be comforted by them as you see things turning out in this world exactly as Jesus said they would. And as Paul concluded to the Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.